Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Leader Lab, Core Skills to Become a Great Manager Faster, by Tanya Luna and Leanne Renninger, Ph.D. Narrated by Brian Luna. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to charts, curves, lab reports, images, templates, link-up triangle, and inclusive planning grid present in the print and ebook formats of the book. The backstory. Let's face it, great managers are rare, and becoming a great manager can take many difficult years. But what if there were a way to simplify the complexity of leadership and become a great manager faster? There is a way to do just that, and we've written this book to show you how. The skills we'll share with you aren't hard, but they do require deliberate practice. As you master each skill, you'll notice your life getting easier, and you'll see yourself making a bigger difference in the world every day. But first, let's talk about why managers matter. Why managers matter. Here's the bad news. 88% of people say they are relieved when their manager is out sick. Worldwide, only 20% of employees strongly agree they are managed in a motivating way. Poor management costs roughly $7 trillion globally every year in terms of errors, inefficiencies, and turnover, not to mention people's mental and physical health. If you've ever had a bad manager, you've experienced firsthand how it can turn joyful work into daily dread. Whew! There. Now that that's out of the way, let's spend the rest of this book together dwelling on the good news. Great managers make work and life better. They help teams achieve amazing results. They help individuals do their life's best work. We, Tanya and Leanne, have seen this time and time again thanks to the work we do through our company, Life Labs Learning, where we train hundreds of thousands of employees at innovative companies around the world, including Google, Warby Parker, The New York Times, Yale, TED, Sony Music, and over 1,000 others. Our workshop participants told us countless stories of managers who changed their lives. There was Martha, whose team members said she helped them bring their real selves to work for the first time in their careers. There was John, who celebrated every milestone his team reached with such consistency that people said it taught them to be better parents. There was Bernardo, who helped lead a company from near extinction to success. There was Nico, who helped her team members keep updating their resumes so they could see how much they'd grown. And there were so many others. We saw that great managers had infinite ripple effects at work and in life, so we made it our mission to help more people become great managers faster. Sure, folks can learn on the job, but experience is a slow and confusing teacher. We can't afford to sit around and wait for leadership skills to kick in. There are too many costs and too many people at stake. Can someone really learn to be a better manager? You bet. Just as in any profession, from medicine to music, some people find some skills easier than others. We don't recommend that everyone be a manager, just as we don't recommend that everyone be a ballet dancer. But everyone can become a better manager faster by applying the lessons in this book. How do we know? When we follow up with managers we've trained at Life Labs Learning 3 months and 1 year later, over 90% say they are still applying the skills they've learned and are better managers as a result. Our clients report an increase in manager effectiveness, employee engagement, and company productivity. Our favorite part? Our workshop participants tell us that becoming better managers has also helped them become better versions of themselves. What a manager is today. Before we get into the skills of great managers, let's align on what a manager is in today's workplace. The etymology of the word manager is actually pretty cringeworthy. It comes from the term to handle, especially tools or horses. The dehumanizing implication is that people are resources to be managed. This way of thinking created efficiencies when craftspeople became factory workers, and managers had to ensure uniformity and predictability. Thinking was the manager's role, while doing was the responsibility of the workers. As you know, things are different now. Given the growing rate of change and competition, companies today rely on everyone collaborating, communicating, learning, and innovating. Unlike the original managers who had to limit people's thinking, today's managers have to help people think faster and better. The best managers no longer manage people. They manage resources, processes, time, priorities, and even themselves. They catalyze results rather than control behavior. They help their team members achieve what neither the manager nor the team members could achieve alone. The long-debated distinction between leaders and managers is also growing obsolete. It used to be said that leaders handled the unknown, while managers handled predictable work. It was once believed that leaders guide others through influence, while managers control through authority. While leaders don't have to be managers, nowadays managers must be leaders. For this reason, we'll use the term manager and leader interchangeably throughout this book and equip you with skills to manage and lead well. So, if you want to become a great manager faster, where should you start? The surprising skills that matter most. Great managers, assemble! Consider this. In a 10-minute exchange with one person, a manager uses hundreds of words, micro-expressions, and gestures. Which of these behaviors result in a team member who's productive and engaged, and which result in the opposite? When we began our mission to help people become great managers faster, we couldn't separate the signal from the noise. So we thought back to the Marthas, Johns, Bernardos, and Nicos. We wondered, can we learn directly from these leadership legends? Thanks to this insight, we assembled our first group of research participants. At Life Labs Learning, we had the unique opportunity of training people at many different companies around the world. So every time we went into a company to lead workshops, we asked, who here is a great manager? The people who were named again and again had the most engaged teams and a track record of achieving results. We also compared these greats with average managers. Our initial plan was to conduct interviews with the greats and the average and look for differences in their answers. To make a long story short, this approach was mostly a flop. When we asked managers which behaviors led to their success, the answers of the great and average folks were not predictive of performance. For example, guess which type of manager, average or great, most often said, I think it's important to be a good listener. The answer? Nearly every manager talked about the importance of listening. So what actually made the greats different? We interviewed the managers' teams to see if we could gather more helpful data. This approach yielded some interesting insights. For example, we learned there was no correlation between managers believing they were good listeners and their team members rating them as good listeners. But we were still no closer to understanding the behaviors that distinguished great managers.
What's in the black box?
You see, one of the challenges with studying management is that it is a uniquely private practice. Nearly all exchanges happen behind closed doors, whether physical or virtual. So, as our next plan of action, we wanted to see if managers would open their doors to us. We asked if we could watch them share feedback, lead meetings, and give pep talks. We wanted to recreate the black box of the aviation world, the recording device that has enabled countless improvements in flight crew dynamics. Surprisingly, many said yes, and to them, we are eternally grateful. As a result, we got to sit in on one-on-ones and team meetings, as well as solo working sessions where we asked managers to think out loud as they made complex decisions. With the black box open, we were able to observe their behaviors in action. When we began our research on what makes great managers different, we started with the implicit premise that it is the big behaviors that count. Without realizing it, we were waiting for something cinematic to happen. We wanted to get goosebumps and imagine an orchestral crescendo while hearing an inspiring speech. What we found instead were behaviors so small, we barely noticed them. But there they were, distinctly standing out again and again in the black boxes of the great managers. Even though these leaders came from different industries, professions, and cultures, they had a small set of small behaviors in common. Discovering behavioral units. We've come to call each small behavior we observed a behavioral unit, or BU for short. No, they are not dramatic, but they are so elegant in their simplicity that they do give us goosebumps. We began to spot them in casual conversations, in times of conflict, and in every meeting. Even in the midst of our own debates about what makes managers different, we'd stop one another and say, "Hey, nice BU." Now that these BUs were visible to us, they were impossible to unsee. Once you learn them, you too will start to spot them everywhere. The Manager Corps, your leadership Swiss Army knife. Once we learned how important BUs are, we thought we had our research breakthrough. Then we realized something even more exciting. Not all BUs are created equal. While great managers exhibit dozens of BUs, there's a foundational set of 7 that came up in more contexts than any other. We call these the core BUs. They are the small but mighty behaviors we will focus on in part 1 of this book. What are these tiny champions of the leadership world? We are proud to present each one chapter by chapter. Chapter 1, Q-Step. Chapter 2, Playback. Chapter 3, Deblur. Chapter 4, Validate. Chapter 5, Link Up. Chapter 6, Pause. Chapter 7, Extract. Once you are familiar with the core BUs, you will be ready to graduate to part 2 of this book, which is based on our most popular workshops at Life Labs Learning. In each chapter, we will show you how to string various BUs together to form the 8 core skills of great managers. While BUs are microbehaviors, skills are packages of different BUs and tools mixed together to help you handle an even broader range of obstacles and opportunities. As an analogy, think of knowing the alphabet as a BU and of writing as a skill. Based on our manager research, we found that just as not all BUs are created equal, not all skills are equally versatile. So, in part 2, we'll bring you only the skills we refer to as the tipping point skills. These are the skills that tip over into the widest number of domains, making the biggest impact in the shortest time. What are these famed core skills? Drumroll, please. The skills you will be learning throughout part 2 of this book are Chapter 8, Coaching Skills. Chapter 9, Feedback Skills. Chapter 10, Productivity Skills. Chapter 11, Effective One-on-Ones. Chapter 12, Strategic Thinking. Chapter 13, Meetings Mastery. Chapter 14, Leading Change. Chapter 15, People Development. Think of the core BUs as your leadership Swiss Army knife. A single Swiss Army knife has a small set of tools, and yet this finite set alone will let you open canned foods, start a fire, make repairs, defend yourself, trim your nails, remove splinters, and infinite other things. In the same way, the core BUs will get you through just about any leadership challenge and fit neatly into the pocket of your memory. Each time you learn how to use different Swiss Army knife tools to achieve a result, you'll learn a new skill. That's what the core skills throughout this book will help you do. Rapidly combine different BUs and tools to become a great manager faster. Your Leader Lab. So, let's get into it. We'll now move away from our telescopic view of managers and saunter over to the microscope. We'll zoom in on the specific behaviors of great managers, sharing behavioral science research along the way. But this deep dive into research is not the only reason this book is called The Leader Lab. Yes, we will bring you lessons from our laboratory and from leadership labs across the world. But the most important lab we will focus on is yours. The very best managers we studied were all wildly different, but one thing they had in common was a practice of constantly experimenting. Rarely did they mention that their leadership skills came naturally to them. On the contrary, most confessed that they made countless mistakes on a regular basis. They just weren't content to leave their mistakes in the past. Instead, much like world-class chess masters, they replayed their days, noticing what they did well, where they went wrong, and what new leadership experiments they can try out in the future. In this way, they became the directors of their own leader labs. They turned every interaction into a learning opportunity and became great managers faster. And so, we now invite you to put on your lab coat and enter your personal leader lab. Don't just listen to this book. Use it as a guide to experiment, reflect, and accelerate your manager mastery. Not only will the manager core help you become a better catalyst of progress for your team, but it will also make your life easier. We began this chapter by pointing out how hard it is to have a bad manager, but actually being a manager is even harder. Feeling responsible for that combination of company results and people's needs, hopes, fears, and dreams can be a heavy weight to carry, especially when there is never enough time and no one to help you figure things out. As a manager, you will face some of the toughest challenges of your life. While the BUs and skills we share with you will make your ride to manager mastery no less wild, we promise to make it more fun, rewarding, and a lot faster. How to use this book. As you listen. The first time you listen to this book, we recommend you move through it from beginning to end, since lessons in each chapter carry through to all chapters that follow. Don't listen passively like you're sitting in on a lecture. After all, this is a lab. Actively reflect on your own behaviors along the way. Ask yourself, do I do this? What might I try doing differently? When can I try it? When an insight strikes, pause to jot it down. For even faster learning, summarize the key points you learned and share them with your manager, your team, your cat, or anyone willing to listen. Research shows that we learn faster by teaching, a handy phenomenon known as the protege effect. Mia the Manager. Throughout this book, you'll get to hear leadership in action, much like we got to do through our research. In each chapter, you'll listen in on conversations with a manager named Mia, a composite of our research participants, as she navigates the ups and downs of her role. Mia is a first-time manager with a common story. She's inexperienced, overwhelmed, and determined to do a good job. There's just one thing about Mia that is decidedly uncommon. She has a magic do-over button. That's right. While the great managers we studied replayed their management moments in their minds, Mia has the unique advantage of going back in time to try it again. Wait. Time travel? You might be saying. Why introduce one of the most notoriously complex plot devices into a book on leadership skills? Well, for starters, because this might be the only chance we get to publish sci-fi, but more importantly, because people's brains learn best through observation. By following Mia's story and hearing the contents of her team's black box, you'll get to spot common leadership mistakes in real time, see each BU and skill in action, and strengthen your own management muscles. Along the way, we encourage you to travel back to instances in your own past where you succeeded or stumbled as a manager and bring experiment ideas back to the future for your personal leader lab. Practice stations. Distributed throughout each chapter, you'll also find practice stations as you would in a physical laboratory. Spend some time at these stations to rapidly transform your insights into habits. These stations are an opportunity to test out what you've learned and collect brain-friendly tips to help the learning stick in your memory. Bonus. For live practice and real-time feedback, visit leaderlab.lifelabslearning.com. Your lab reports. At the end of each chapter, you'll have a personal lab report to complete that will prompt you to do the following. Number one, extract your takeaways from the chapter so you can easily return to them later. Number two, assess your current competence level to increase your self-awareness. Number three, select a small experiment from a bank of ideas to try in your own leader lab. Number four, extract your learnings once you have tried out the experiment to accelerate your learning. Bonus inclusion stations. Because great leadership is synonymous with inclusive leadership, you'll also have access to bonus inclusion stations at leaderlab.lifelabslearning.com. Visit these inclusion stations for extra support in applying the lessons in this book to every member of your team, mitigating the impact of bias and giving each person access to great leadership. You'll discover research and pro tips for cross-cultural collaboration, leading remote and distributed teams, as well as overall inclusion guidance. Why apply an inclusive lens to how you lead? Because teams are increasingly diverse, which means managers have to take deliberate action to leverage this diversity and overcome individual and systemic bias. Companies that harness the strength of their differences are more resilient, engaged, and see an average of 45% more revenue growth than their peers. Finally, give yourself an occasional fist bump or high five for your effort along the way. The world needs more great managers. Thank you for putting in the work to become an even better manager. Part 1. The Core BUs. Ready to enter Part 1 of the Leader Lab? In this first section, we'll equip you with the Core BUs, the small but powerful behavioral units that will immediately make your conversations, relationships, and decisions better. 1. Cue step. 2. Playback. 3. De-blur. 4. Validate. 5. Link up. 6. Pause. 7. Extract. Each BU is a simple but versatile behavior you can notice and use every day, including the moment you end this book. Welcome to the Leader Lab. Chapter 1. Cue step. Let's begin by examining the first behavioral unit that stood out in our research on what makes great managers different. Imagine you joined us in the lab. You take a seat in a small, dark room behind a two-way mirror and observe a manager in a one-on-one meeting. You switch on your handy stopwatch and let it run for 15 minutes. During this time, you count every question the manager asks. Once time's up, you tally the results. What's your prediction? In the span of 15 minutes, how many questions does an average manager ask? How many questions does a great manager ask? If you guess 2 questions for average and 10 for great, you are exactly right. Great managers ask 5 times more questions. Not only does question quantity set great managers apart, it's also a marker of great negotiators, influencers, creative thinkers, and even the secret to getting a second date. In one study of over 519,000 calls, researchers found that the best salespeople also asked more questions. Of course, it's possible to ask terrible questions. What were you thinking? And how can you be so bad at this? Are definitely questions, and definitely not questions we recommend. Question quality is essential, more on that in Chapter 8, but the necessary starting point is question quantity. Great managers simply ask more questions than average. In fact, before they go into telling mode, they default to question mode. Their first step is to ask at least 1 question. We call this BU the cue step. How does the cue step BU help you become a great manager faster? Let's see its impact in action. We're going to join Mia in her first week as a manager. For context, she's excited about the role, but somewhat intimidated by the challenge of being Luca's manager. She and Luca both applied for the role, and he has more subject matter expertise than Mia. This is their first conversation since they got the news. Version 1. Luca. Weird, right? Having different roles all of a sudden. Mia. Yeah, but I'm excited. I hope you're okay with it. Yep, it's all good. I didn't even know if I wanted the job. I don't want it to be any different between us, you know. Yep. I want to make process improvements that benefit all of us, like the stuff we've all been frustrated about. Yep. All good. Well, I have to get back to work. Oh, sure. Good talk. Mia leaves the conversation feeling shaken. She tried to show care, but Luca seemed to grow more distant. Mia decides it's time to use her magic do-over button. Let's see her try it again, leaning on the power of the cue step. Version 2. Do-over. Luca. Weird, right? Having different roles all of a sudden. Mia. Yeah. How are you feeling about it? I feel fine, I guess. Would you be willing to share more of what's on your mind? Well, I'm happy for you, but, you know, I've been here longer. I'm not even sure if I wanted the job, but it just sucks not to get it. Yeah, I hear you. I'm curious, what did you like about the job description and what didn't you? Maybe that can help us figure out how to make your current role better? Well, I didn't want to be responsible for everyone on the team hitting their goals. You can have that part. But I did like the idea of making process improvements. Oh, well, the truth is you're better at many parts of this work than I am. I want to hear your ideas. How can we add making process improvements into your role? I'd like that. Maybe I could focus on one process to improve per quarter. Yes, I can set up a meeting for us to chat about it. How does that sound? That sounds good. Thanks. And Mia, congratulations. Whew, good use of the do-over button. Not only did Mia manage to ask 400% more questions, she also cue-stepped, making it more likely that Luca will keep making valuable contributions. But Mia's day is just beginning. Next up, she sees her team member Olivia. Mia and Olivia have also been peers for several years, but Olivia has shown no interest in management. In fact, she seems to show less and less interest at work in general. So, it catches Mia off guard when Olivia comes to her with a new idea. Version 1. Olivia. Hey, Mia. Now that you're our manager, maybe you could finally help us get the resources we need. I'd like to get an intern this summer. Can I do that? Mia. Oh, wow. The thing is, I know interns sound cheap, but they'll take up all of your time. We can use the internship program I was in back in the day. It's structured really well. Liv, it's never worth it. Trust me. Okay, I guess I'll drop it.
For a moment, Mia feels great about the conversation. She helped Olivia avoid a big mistake. Then it hits her. She just wasted an opportunity to get Olivia re-engaged at work. So she presses the do-over button. Version 2. Do-over. Olivia.
Hey, Mia. Now that you're a manager, maybe you can finally help us get the resources we need. I'd like to get an intern this summer. Can I do that?
Mia. Thanks for coming to me with this. I definitely want to use this role to get us the resources we need.
What made you start thinking of getting an intern? I just never have enough time to finish everything on my plate.
So that we can find the right solution, I'm curious. What are you thinking you delegate to the intern? And what would that give you more time to do?
Well, I guess I'm not even sure I know yet. It's unclear what my priorities should be.
What impact did you notice once Mia got a Q-step do-over? How about in general? What is the impact of asking questions before offering solutions? Q-stepping helps managers become more effective faster in at least 3 ways. Number 1. Q-stepping helps you diagnose the underlying problem faster. In the conversation with Luca, we missed out on learning the source of his disappointment, not getting to make process improvements. And the conversation with Olivia got stuck in the binary, should we get an intern or not, rather than uncovering her prioritization challenge. Just as a good physician would never prescribe medicine without first diagnosing the illness, a good manager cannot offer advice without first understanding the problem. Even though it might seem quicker to jump to a solution, a great solution to the wrong problem is still the wrong solution. The Q-step helps you diagnose faster, so it also helps you solve the right problem faster. Number 2. Q-stepping helps you develop people's skills faster. In her do-over conversation, Mia wasn't solving her team members' problems for them. Instead, her questions helped them clarify their thinking. The result? She also helped speed up problem-solving skill building they can apply to countless other situations. She was a catalyst. Without these developmental moments, managers become problem-solving bottlenecks, making it hard for the team to scale and nearly impossible for the manager to take a vacation. 3. Q-stepping lets you catalyze commitment. The resolutions in Mia's original conversations came with a heavy tax. She never learned about Luca's hopes, and Olivia left less likely to propose ideas in the future. As we'll share in more detail in Chapter 11, autonomy is at the heart of engagement. Research shows that when people play a leading role in solving their own problems, they shift from mere compliance, doing what they're told, into commitment, having the drive to achieve results. So we know great managers ask more questions than average. But there's more to this finding. When we asked our research participants if asking questions came naturally to them, we were surprised to hear common answers like this. No. Solving problems comes naturally to me, especially when I was a new manager. It actually felt painful to ask a question instead of jumping in with a good answer. I'd get so frustrated as I waited for my direct reports to figure things out on their own, especially when we were short on time. While a few managers said that questions were easy to ask, the majority reported at least some difficulty, with some answers bordering on suffering. This internal struggle makes sense. Most people become managers after they've had a stint as successful makers. But the skill sets of these two roles are vastly different, much like the difference between soloists and conductors. Individual contributors succeed when they solve problems. Managers succeed when they help others solve problems. When you transition from maker to manager, you have to learn to ignore the very instincts that made you successful in the past, and you have to deal with the delay of gratification that comes with waiting for others to achieve results.
Most managers we interviewed understood that asking questions was essential, but they had to exercise
Sample complete. Ready to continue?